Hello and welcome to Accelerate. I am Matt Stone. This is the podcast where we encourage and inspire CEOs, founders, and visionaries on their big leap journeys. We talk about the stories and strategies that will help you accelerate toward your big leap destination with purpose, humility, an open mind, commitment to growth, and recognition that the way we get there is at least as important as where we end up. And I'm so delighted that you've tuned in today. And it is Friday, November the 4th, 2022. And oh yeah, we're back this Friday. That's right. 2 days in a row. Can you believe it? No break today. And it's good to just be connecting with you as we move forward here into the weekend. Gorgeous day. The morning, I looked out in the sky at the Midtown Manhattan this morning and just the sun coming up and the colors and everything. It's unbelievable. So, so gorgeous. And I was really grateful for that view. So finding ways to be grateful. And even in the churn, which is very, very difficult. And I had, I've been thinking about the exhaustion of churn. I talked about volcanic eruption yesterday. And I was thinking about how much energy, you know, one expends going to a new place that you've never been, you know, literally and figuratively, trying to solve problems you've never quite had to solve in that way. And, you know, we're trying to draw on our intuition for decision making. What do I do? Do I choose door number one, two, or three? And if things don't go well, especially over a protracted period of time, what can happen is you start doubting yourself. That's the worst, I have to say. The self-doubt is, that's probably one of the biggest challenges. Any entrepreneur out there knows this, that the self-doubt, am I actually a fraud? Am I any good? Maybe my previous wins, you know, were because of a fluke and not because of me. And the truth is a lot of winning has to do with things that are out of our control. I mean, when we win, we tend to want to take all the credit for it internally. Studies have shown that, you know, people who have incredible wealth tend to believe at some point that they have that incredible wealth because they're special, because they actually worked harder or are smarter or deserve it in some way. And the truth is that none of us, I'm not criticizing wealth, you know, the super rich for that necessarily. I think it's a human nature kind of thing. I think we're all capable of that. If we do something well, yeah. I mean, we want to take all the credit for it when in fact, there's a lot of other factors that are at play. And so back to intuition. So, you know, when you start, things happen that make you believe or that might lead you to believe, gosh, I can't trust my intuition. That's really unsettling. But then I've been reading a bunch of different books, you know, like a little bit slowly. I've got like 10 in progress, I think. But this one, which is an iconic book, and I had it on audiobook, but then I bought the paper one because I want to be able to mark it up. Thinking Fast and Slow, Daniel Kahneman. It's an iconic book at this point. But in the very intro, I just love this piece where he talks about, you know, about this issue. The psychology, it's on page 11, the psychology of accurate intuition involves no magic. Perhaps the best short statement of it is by the great Herbert Simon, who studied chess masters and showed that after thousands of hours of practice, they come to see the pieces on the board differently from the rest of us. You can feel Simon's impatience with the mythologizing of expert intuition when he writes, quote, the situation has provided a cue. This cue has given the expert access to information stored in memory. And the information provides the answer. Intuition is nothing more and nothing less than recognition. So, so true. And then I love the story he tells on the next page about, this is great. Unfortunately, professionals' intuitions do not all arise from true expertise. Many years ago, I visited the chief investment officer. Investment officer, I say that again, of a large financial firm who told me that he had just invested some tens of millions of dollars in the stock of Ford Motor Company. When I asked how he made that decision, he replied that he had recently attended an automobile show and had been impressed. Boy, do they know how to make a car, was his explanation. He made it very clear that he trusted his gut feeling and was satisfied with himself with his decision. I found it remarkable that he had apparently not considered the one question that an economist would call relevant. Is Ford stock currently underpriced? Instead, he had listened to his intuition. He liked the cars, he liked the company, and he liked the idea of owning its stock. From what we know about the accuracy of stock picking, it is reasonable to believe that he did not know what he was doing. And I think what he talks about later is, meaning the author, is that when faced with a difficult question, we often answer an easier one instead, and we don't notice that we've substituted it. So in this case, the chief investment officer, the question posed is, should I invest in Ford Motor Company? But what he answered was, do I like Ford Motor Company? And then invested. So this can work in many, many different ways. When we talk about intuition, decision-making, if you're making a decision about something that you've never done before, going to an opportunity that you've never done, or experiencing a context that you've never experienced, the more foreign it is, I mean, the less information that your intuition is informed by. So now you're judging it by completely unreliable metrics sometimes. Is it still worth it to take a risk? Of course it is. It's exhilarating. And I would argue that, you know, the bravest among us in terms of risk takers, you know, are willing to take the risk with, you know, a fair amount of information, not knowing how it's going to work out and embracing the journey along the way, as hard as that is. But it means you may not get it right. And maybe it was right, but other circumstances changed in the interim. I mean, there's a lot of different factors. So yes, take responsibility for your decisions, but also understand that there's a lot of chaos in the equation as well. And sometimes the best we can do is recognize that our intuition is inadequately informed. This applies to relationships as well, by the way. If we're going on our intuition about how to behave with somebody, how to treat them, that's okay. But because of the unique nature of every individual and what is informing the way that they're receiving information and the way that they translate information and communicate information, it's so different for different people that my intuition is particularly faulty in an interpersonal exchange sometimes, just as an aside. So we've got to be able to have a way and have the confidence to find out from other people what they need and want from us behaviorally, how they're receiving our behavior towards them. There's many ways to do this. It doesn't have to be an onerous, you know, conversation either. Just a little bit of transparency and authentic asking can reveal a lot. And here's the connection between that and what I'm previously talking about. In my experience, the only way to get through massive, massive periods of churn that are deeply consequential to you, that challenge your inner core, is in relationship with other people. In other words, if it's a creative process, I can't get into a closed loop with myself. That by definition is not going to be creative because I'm sort of trapped in my own paradigm. The only way to get out of that paradigm is to do different things. And one of the ways to get different things and ideas and perspectives out is through the different experiences, ideas, and paradigms of other people who can help us stretch and grow. So diversifying that as your goal will produce as its natural consequence more creativity, better perspective as we move forward. So I guess this all boils down to community. How do we get through difficult things and creatively move through them? Through community. We have to be in community with one another, with different people, and be willing to be vulnerable and open with those people and let them in. And the more that we're investing in people all along the way, the more that the community will be fed and the fire will stay hot. Bringing it back to fire again. But you know what? That's what it's all about. It's the fire in your belly that gives you the impulse, and it's the fire in your belly that gives that creative energy to keep going, to burn, to destroy one thing and give room for the new growth in some area that you didn't know about. No wonder this is exhausting. It's exhausting. Limited control over the world, tons of unknowns, corners you can't see around, coupled with an absolutely irresistible urge to live true to yourself. In some ways, it's easier to go along with, you know, a formula. There's nothing wrong with that either. If a formula works for you as far as career or job or whatever. But sometimes, you know, I find myself in situations where I can't live with a situation unless it's really true to myself. That's how I am these days. And that is a blessing and a curse. When it's going great, man, you're the, you know, everybody envies your freedom and your independence and your how authentic you are and living your truth. And when it's not going well, you know, you're looking outside going, man, I'm an idiot. Which, of course, is not true. So community, community, community. And I'll say this, I continue to be blessed by my beautiful, loving, amazing community. And shout out to my brother, Casey. That's all I'm going to say. Casey, you're an amazing man. Folks, have a great weekend. I hope it's a weekend of connection, taking a breath, going and seeing something beautiful, exercise. Those are all the things that I'm going to prioritize this weekend. And keeping it to today, I'm excited for today. There's new opportunities to explore, discover, and help some people out. And that's a theme this week. I've been really connected with people this week. It's been really, really great. And things are sprouting and connections are being made. And I'm using passive voice, so that's not a good thing. Find this podcast at mattstone.co, mattstone.co, Instagram at mattstone.co, Twitter. I'm still really, I got to research. Can I just freeze my account, put it in cryogenic freeze and wait a few years? I do not love that platform. I don't know why I keep talking about it. Maybe I should just give it up. Put it in the fire. See what comes out the other end. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening. I care about you. Bye-bye for now.